today, and we want you to continue just praying. Thankful for our young people and their desire to sing praises unto the Lord, and how it thrills our hearts this morning. 1 Thessalonians is where we'll be reading from in the first chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is where I'll be reading from while you pray for us for a few minutes of time, that God would just take his word and just continue to bless the Grand Old Church in the midst of our gathering this morning. That I believe that we've already rejoiced, and yet God has got so much more in store for us today. And I said in a few weeks ago, Palm Sunday, that sometimes we just have to step outside of our comfort zone and just be able to worship God as he ministers to our heart and soul. And we all worship in different ways, but the main thing is to worship, because he is worthy to be worshiped today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting this morning with verse 2, reading down through and including the end of this chapter today. Verse 2 says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." Amen. "And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that were in Macedonia and Achaia. And you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward it spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And stop reading there this morning in this scripture reading, and let me give you a preface for a few moments of time. That this message from Paul to Thessalonica is encouraging them about the church, and how that we were saved in the church. And because we're saved in the church, God has put us here to work in the church. And to do, remember, as they sang that song, where God brought us from and how good he's been on this journey. And if it were not for the mother church, none of us would be where we are at today. And we're not saved by our works, but we're saved unto good works. That we might be able to have a church, as he says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in the 10th verse, that we all would be in the same mind with the same purpose, which brings harmony in the midst of the grand old church. And the church today, as we gather together over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 25, says and teaches us that regular attendance, regular worship in church, assists us in building and maintaining our faith, that we might grow in our knowledge of God. And Acts, the 28th chapter, starting at verse 11, it teaches us that church is a place to belong. Of all the institutions and places there are in this world, there's nothing like the church of the grand old living God today. And we need to belong to a church. And not just belong, but we need to be workers in the church. And that we might be able, as he says in verse 14 of that Acts, the 28th chapter, that we might be given to hospitality, that we might be cordial to one another and helpful to each other. And verse 15, it teaches us that when we go to church, we meet each other where we're at. Can I expound? That many of us come in today with many different things on our hearts and our minds. But when we come in here, we meet each other where we're at. If you're burdened, we'll help you with that burden. If you've got joy, we'll share with that joy. If there's uncertainty, we will join with you in testifying that none of us know what the future holds. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I know who holds the future in the palm of his hand. Church is a place where it is a place that we get it a source of strength from. That we come in weak, but we leave here high on a mountain because we've been to church and we've been energized. And verse 15 teaches us that church is a place of thanksgiving and praise, as we've already had praise this morning and worship. But this is where we come together that we might worship the Lord in his church. But we know that the church is not a building. It is the people in that building. And I'm thankful for our church this morning. Amen. The church is not who or all the necessitates our prayers, but it's not where we pray, but we pray everywhere. We're not confined to prayers just in this building. God broke down through his son Jesus Christ. He broke down the middle wall partition that we can go straight to the throne room and talk to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we come together, and we are prepared for worship when we come to the house of God. How many of you got up prepared this morning? Despite the obstacles that Satan puts in front of you, when we come in here, we leave all the world at the front door. Amen. Some of you are going to help me preach. We come in and we got one mind and one spirit. There's only one spirit. And we come in here and we're not judging anybody. Let God be the judge. Amen. You may not like the way I talk. You may not like the way we sing. You may not like the way we preach. But leave it up to God this morning. Amen. And we're here asking God to bless our brothers and our sisters. How many of you got that on your heart this morning? I'm not going to preach long today, but I'm trying to set the floor for what God has laid on my heart. And we come in here and we are led by the Holy Ghost. And thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. And some of you say, Roger, well, you still have not given us your text today. And I want to share that with you. And I want you to let it penetrate your heart for a minute. Because Paul was telling them at Thessalonica that the church is important. It's important that we show love one toward another. It's important that we gather to lift up the name and remember where God brought us from. But Sister Brenda, not just where he brought us from, but teach us again, tell me one more time, what has God got prepared for me when this life shall come to an end? And he's got a home in glory land prepared from the foundation of the world. That one day when he comes, as our last scripture read, one day he's going to step out on the clouds of glory and he's going to come and get his church, the bride of Christ, and take us home to be with him for all eternity. And won't it be wonderful there when we gather there? No more bad news, no more sad news, no more burdens to bear, but we'll be able to praise him in perfect harmony and be able to give him the glory and the honor that he is deserving of. My text this morning is, you are what makes this church, this church. Let that sink in. God laid it on my heart this week. Each and every one of you is what makes this church, this church. There are many churches. I I guess, hundreds, if not thousands, of churches in the greater Cincinnati area. But there is no church like Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. Oh, help me. We've got something that many others don't have. They can boast, as I was listening this morning, some boast about their music program. Some boast about their other programs that they have. Some and I'm looking for the right word, but they try to lift up the singing, or they try to lift up the praise or the worship part of it. But I believe that we've got the most well-rounded church that there is in the area. And I say that because each and every one of you contribute to making this church what she is today. And let me preach this morning, God is not done with us yet. He's still got more, and he's got better things planned for us than what we could put down on paper and try to draw it up. God has got a glorious church, and he wants to see the church grow and prosper, not just in numbers. I know that there are many, and even some of the pastors that you and I know, that when you talk to them about the church, they want to talk about the numbers, how many people belong there, how many people was in Sunday school, and how many people was in church. I cannot tell you how many members we have here at Mount Carmel. I don't know what the number is, and frankly, I don't care what the number is. I'm not in it for the numbers. I'm in it for the worship and the praise of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might present him as a glorious God, that lost people might come and be saved. And others will talk about this program or that program. I've got one program today, and that is to lift up his holy name, that people might be exalted, people might be encouraged, and people might be that are downtrodden might be lifted up and come to the realization in this world we're all going to have troubles. But thank God I've got a church that I can go to where I can lay it all down, and God is there to lift me up and to help me along the way. You are what makes this church, this church. It's a church like none other. And I say that, yes, there are other churches that are good churches, and I'm not putting them down. But I've seen a church like Mount Carmel. And I'll get into that in just a few minutes. Paul was bragging on Thessalonica. And you know that there are those that in the church at Colossians, and the church at Ephesus, and the church at Corinth, and the church at Rome, and the church at the book of Revelations talks about, that he saw the seven churches of Asia Minor that was there, in every one of the churches he found something wrong with them. And if God looks at our church, I'm sure he finds something wrong with us. But Lord, help us. We are still learning. We're still growing. We're still trying to correct some past wrongs that we've done, because we've all got the same vision, and that is today that we might be able to see those that are away from God walk down the aisles and get right with God, and those that are lost and undone. How many of you got a vision of seeing your loved ones walk down this aisle and bow down upon this altar and give their heart and soul to Jesus Christ? And folks, you let me preach to you this morning that there's not every church you go to where that can happen. But how many of you are thankful this morning that we've got a church where people can come in and feel the presence of God, and know that they can know that it's God speaking to them, not the preacher or the pastor this morning, but my words are words that are sent from God, that I might preach what God has given me. And I'm thankful this morning that I've got a church that preaches the preacher today, that encourages the preacher to preach what God lays on their heart. That's you. Say I. Come on. Say I. You are the ones that make this church this church. Look around you this morning. I said you're going to participate this morning. Look around you this morning and tell somebody, I'm glad you're here. Go ahead. Some of you are worried if you do what a pastor says that we'll be here all day long. We ain't going to be here that long. We ain't going to be here that long. You are what makes this church, this church. You inspire each other. You inspire one another. Maybe not with audible words, but by your actions. You inspire one another to work harder. Dig down. Work harder. Some folks, and I got to put this in, Mount Carmel doesn't work you to death. There are some churches that just think if you're not there 5 or 6 days a week, you're not working hard. Did you know that all the work in the church is not done when we're here? A lot of it's done when you're frying up the chicken. And some of you say, what's that? Some of the work's done while you're doing the dishes or making the beds or while you're standing at that machine working or pulling that load down the hallway. Some of the work is done while you're out cutting the grass or tilling the garden. You see, this is not where all the work gets done. This is a place of manifestation of all the work that is done in other places, and we come together bringing in the sheaves. Hallelujah. And when we bring them in, God blesses it and he multiplies it. You encourage each other to work harder, and we encourage each other because God has blessed us to press on. Press along, weary pilgrim. Press on. How many of you got folks in the church house this morning that's encouraged you to press on? I know it's hard right now. Oh, I got a message to preach this morning. It's hard right now, but just stay there with God. He'll bring you through it. And not just bring you through it, but he'll bring you through it victorious, that you can have something to shout about and praise him for. And it's not just you, but it's because of others that are inspiring you and being such a help along this journey. We inspire each other to live holy, because if we don't live holy when we come in here, it'll be nothing more than show. I didn't come for show. I come to feel what I feel in my soul this morning. Oh, praise his name. You inspired me this morning as a member of this body of Christ that we would participate with each other. Wasn't it a blessing to see those young people get up here, and then they just kept coming and coming, and we didn't have to drag them up, but they wanted to participate. And then I believe it was last Sunday, and I know that Grant, we had so many kids here that the buckets disappeared real fast, and he didn't get to participate because there wasn't no bucket. I want us to have enough buckets that everybody can participate. I don't care what your age bracket is. God gives you a song, I want you to sing it. You say, but we've already had 7 or 8 songs. It don't matter how many songs we've sung. God gives you a song. You've got a song to sing, and you sing it to the best of your ability, because you are just as important as any other member of this church. Amen. But there's a time to quit. Some of you say, when, Jules? And I'll quit shortly. You encourage one another. Don't give up. No matter what the report says, don't give up. We inspire each other. And then I'm taking a lot of this from not just here, but at other churches where I've been, where people inspire each other to live better. Men and women that inspired us. How many of you got some of those superheroes in your life? They inspired us to live better. Not with long messages or talks, but just the way they presented themselves in the way that they did. You see, in this church here, every one of us is what makes this church this church. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the deacons. But it's every one of us that comes together collectively to lift up the name of the Lord. And you know what we do when we come together? We come together and things are just better. Did you know that the singers sing better because of you? How many of you, when someone is up here singing, you join in with them singing? Amen. Or some of you say, I don't sing, but you're inspiring them by your prayers that you're lifting up while they are up here. Somebody ought to look around to somebody else and say, you make me sound better. Come on. I said you're going to participate. The sooner you participate, the sooner God will bless you. Tell somebody, you make me sound better. Amen. Some of you don't want to participate. And I want you to tell somebody this morning, you being here makes me better. Come on. Some of you on this side, you can go to that side. You say, but we're not supposed to get up and walk during church. Let go of your norms and let God bless you. Amen. Some of us need to tell another, you help me worship better. Amen. Yeah. You know why? Because they're not afraid. You know, there's a song from way back in the 70s that said, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Well, every one of us has been born again. We've got the fire. Amen. But sometimes it's burning so low. But then somebody will start praising the Lord while somebody's singing. Now, let me be short with this analogy this morning. It don't take a loud holler across the house to get the fire going. Oh, I can just hear somebody. I can almost hear the teardrop fall. Some of you didn't hear me. From a sister or a brother in the house that's just thinking and manifesting about how good God's been to them this week. Amen. And I can hear that teardrop fall. Or out of the peripheral, I can see a brother or sister beginning to enjoy the meeting. And it just blesses me to where my cup starts filling up. Amen. How many of you had your cup filled up in the house of God? And not just filled up. As Brother Eddie sings that song, most of the time in church, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowing. And we worship together. And when we come together as a church, even the preachers can preach better. Amen? Because we got a church that enjoys the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you say, I'd get up like Brother Holcomb did, but I'd be afraid that I would interrupt the service. If God is bidding you today, you won't interrupt it. But by you not doing it, you are stopping the flow of the Holy Ghost in the house of God today. This is our church. You own the church. You are the church. And we ought to be able to have the freedom to follow God when God says move, that we can move in the house of the Lord. You see, you are what makes this church this church. Yet we began to pray. And I believe we got one of the best praying churches in the area, if not in the country. We pray and the sick are healed. Hallelujah. And it's not because of one, but it's because of all of us praying as God moves in our heart. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. They're healed today. And we've had those this morning, and many of us can identify with this, that folks that, and this is not preach much in a Baptist church, but has had financial needs. And because we are one body, we care for our own this morning. And even try to help those that are outside, Brother Ron. As God laid this on my heart, I had to say one more time, thank you, Lord, for the job that you've given Brother David or one of these other brothers or sisters in the house of the Lord. Maddie got a job, and Sarah got a job, and she's gone from one position to another. And people say that's just by happen chance that came into being. I say you can say whatever you want, but I'm going to give the praise and the honor and the glory unto my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that there is nothing that we've ever had need of that God has not provided. And I got to put this in, not to embarrass anybody, but there's been times that some of our folk have been in financial need and worry and fear that came about upon their heart as God was working in my spirit about this message on Wednesday night after church. I almost had to let go in the parking lot because Sister Sharon was talking about when Rob and Sharon was in that great need, and now that God put it upon some of our hearts to take up an offering. And I don't say this to embarrass them whatsoever, but it came down to the fact that the dollars that was needed, Rob stood up appear and testified it must have been God in the midst, because the money they needed came up and God fulfilled the need. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? God provides, and he provides well to everything that we have need of. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed be his name. I could almost have a spell this morning, couldn't you? And when we think about how that God uses every one of us to help another along this journey. And I got to say this as well. Everyone that God, and I got to backtrack just a minute. I don't beg for members. I have told some of you, when you told me you was going to a sister church, I said, it worries me. I'm concerned because the pastors try to beg members off sister churches. I'm not throwing stones. I'm preaching the truth. If they could, they'll talk you into it. Is there anybody today that can say, Roger talked me into joining? In fact, Sister Brenda and David and their family, David, your family this morning, he said, if Roger says this, I'll know it's my time to join. I don't beg members. But when God puts them in here, can I say this about every one of you? David and his family and Sister Brenda being the most recent ones. When God puts you in here, you'll be just like when they was building the Temple of Solomon. All the work was done on the outside. And when God put you in here, you fit in here perfectly. There was no work that had to be done once you was in here. God had already done the work. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning for all that he has done and all that he is still doing. And folks, some of us just need to say to the others, God is still working on me. I am not yet what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And hallelujah to the Lamb of God, I'm not what I'm going to be, but you hold on a few more days and this Holy Ghost filled preacher will be preaching like he's never preached before, because it's time that we let go and let God preach us and to sing us, teach us in the house of the Lord. See, I'm about done. Some of us have messed up in the past, but Mount Carmel took us right in and made us feel like there was no error. Made us feel like we were just part of the family of the church at Mount Carmel. And how many of you today are proud to be a part of this church? Amen. Amen. You see, Sometimes it's easy to get down. We've got this problem, we got that problem, we got this uncertainty about 32 and 11 parking spots. We're going to lose and all that. I say, look, church, instead of us worrying about it and letting fear come in and rob us of our joy, of our salvation, let's just give it to God and say, Lord, it might look like it's pretty dim right now, but I remember a time when you've rolled the clouds away and the sun comes shining through and blessings began to fall. Did not the prophet of old said, I will open up the heavens and pour out a blessing on you as such that you're not able to receive it all. I'm standing in that blessing this morning. I'm not going to deny it, but I'm going to keep on telling you and telling myself, yes, I don't know the future, but God can change minds. He can change hearts, and he can make a way where there seemeth not to be a way. You see, you are what makes this church, this church. You say, Roger, you're saying it twice. I just want to emphasize this church. Amen. You see, as God laid us on my heart, some of us ought to be dead. Yeah. You say, well, as far as I know, there's nothing wrong with me, but did you know you could fall over just like that? With nothing wrong. But there's some of you that's had the diagnosis that wasn't very favorable. You know who you've got to thank? First of all, God. Can anybody give him a praise this morning in the house of the Lord? Instead of being dead, you're here in the house of the Lord. Many of us today don't deserve where God has placed us. But I say, thank you, Lord, for putting me here in this pasture for a little while. Yeah, sometimes we walk through briars. Sometimes we get stuck in thickets. But did you know the Good Shepherd watches over each and every one of us and knows what we have need of? And you've got a church that loves you today, that loves you and cares for you. And that's what Paul was telling with Thessalonica. Look at this church. If I could say it, he was saying this is the model church. There's an old song that said it like this, and I don't know all the song because it's a medley, but in life I found the model church and went and worshiped there today. And when I went in, I found out the house was not built for show. Some of y'all remember that old song? Just come to the house of the Lord. God's blessed us with a beautiful building, but this building is not Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. You are. Amen. Amen. And I want to close by saying this. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this church. How many of you really appreciate being a part of the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church? Would you raise your hands in the house of God? Can we say to our brothers and sisters, and I'm going to close with this morning. Too often in life, we wait until they're laying in front of us before we tell folks how much they mean to us. We wait until it's too late. But this morning, I like to close this message and this service with a song. Yeah, the altar's open. It's always open at Mount Carmel. Amen. But we sang this song the other Thursday evening out at Clarence and George's house. Somebody come and sing that song for us. This morning, you've been an inspiration to me. Because there's not a one of us that can look at anybody else in the house today and say, I am more important than you are. There's not a one of us that, somebody come sing. There's not a one of us that can come and say to another that they need me more than they need you. There's not a one of us that can say they love you more than they love me. You know, I go back to that prodigal son for just a moment as they get ready to sing. And I tell you like this, you see, sometimes we get jealous. We see God blessing others, And we wonder, God, where are you for me? You know what? The prodigal had a brother. And that brother complained because his father, Brother Wayne, threw such a party for his son that was lost and is now found. What about me, Dad? And the dad responded, You've always been here. I've always taken good care of you. I've always blessed you. Do I have anybody in the house this morning that would say, God, you've been so good to me. If you don't give me another blessing, you've already given me more than I could ever ask for. And when I see others prosper, Lord, I just want to say it bound to be the Lord. And to say, God, you know my need. And maybe, just maybe, you are next in line for that blessing that you need this morning. Whether it be health or financial, or whether it be a need that is right here. Because Satan will make you think you have needs that you really don't have need. Amen. But how many of you know on a Sunday morning that this church is comprised of many different members, and all those members together make it the best church yet there is? Ray said this to me, and I've had others say it to me as well. They looked for a long time trying to find a church like Mount Carmel. They're not everywhere. But praise God, I'm honored to say I'm part of her. And you're part of her this morning. So we have helped each other through a lot. And if time goes on, we're going to need the strength of each and every one of you to make it even further down the road. And if the load gets too heavy, call upon the church for help. And let the church help you this morning. Now, every one of us owes somebody a thanks of gratitude for being here this morning. Most of all, we owe it to God. And then we owe it to ourselves for being obedient and following what God laid on our heart. And then we owe it to our brothers and sisters this morning. And I say this, I didn't shake some of your hand at the beginning of the service. Don't get offended. I just didn't make it. All right? And I believe that you're mature enough to know that. But just in case, I want every one of you to know there's not a one of you today that I can look at and say what I need to say, I should put in there, that you have helped me through so much. You say, but Roger, you've never been in the hospital. You don't know what goes on. There's not a one of us that knows everything about somebody else. Men, you don't even know everything about your wife. Women, you don't know everything about your husband. You don't know everything about your kids. Kids, you don't know everything about mom and dad, even though you think you got it all figured out. You don't know it all. But you see, we accept each other as we are, because every one of us ain't nothing more, and that's not good English, ain't nothing more than sinners saved by God's amazing grace. And because of that, we have a place to worship. Yes, Brother Emerson. Bless you, buddy. I'm telling that right now. Thank you. Amen. Bless you, buddy. Amen. I'll keep you here all day now if you ain't careful. Let me just do it this way. How many of you thankful that Mount Carmel took you in and made you part of her great big family? Amen. Amen. Now let's stand. And as they sing this song, there's folks that you need to go to and say, you helped me become the person I am. You help me become the Christian that I am. Because you set the example in front of me. And now I want to thank you for that. Why are they saying?
Yeah, amen.